Hey guys, this is Justin, and today we'd like to share another episode from our old podcast, the Ultra Odyssey Cast, where we talk about one of our favorite anime from 2018, A Place Further Than the Universe. We hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to the Ultra Odyssey Cast, and today we actually have something a little different for you. We don't have John here today, it's just me and Justin. So we're going to do episode one in our series of cute girls doing cute things.
One of many.
Yeah, there's going to be tons of episodes on cute girls doing cute things, but we can really only do these when John is in here, because this is not a genre that he really goes for.
Yeah, John has shit taste, so he doesn't want
to. Yeah, exactly. That's the problem. So we're starting this one with an anime that just came out this past winter season, A Place Further Than the Universe.
Rob, what is this called in Japanese?
Antarctica. That's what it's called, Justin. It's called Antarctica.
You're not even going to attempt it.
Sora Yori Motoe Bisho.
Basho.
So we're going to call it Antarctica from here on out, just to speed things up. We don't have waste half the episode just saying the title of A Place Further Than Universe.
Right. So, Rob, why don't we just get into it? What are your first impressions of the series? Because you're the one who introduced it to me.
Right. So I was told about this series by somebody that I work with, actually. And I think he ended up not even finishing it, but really? He just told me there's a series about cute girls going to Antarctica and there are penguins.
Sold.
That's all I needed to hear. I didn't know anything else about it. So I watched the first episode and I really enjoyed it. I like the art style, the way they kind of – I think everybody has like a white outline around them. Mm-hmm. There's something about that that really clicked with me. I really like that art style. I mean, early on, the first episode, the story doesn't really grip you, but the art style was enough and the concept was enough to bring me back for the second episode. And honestly, I watched it week to week, and you know, the second I saw the episode came out, I went and watched it. I was pretty hooked early on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I don't completely agree. The very first episode, it's hilarious because the way they open it up with her and her mom interacting. Yeah. And she's like, I had this dream that you were trying to kill me. And right away, I was like, okay, I like this show. Art style's good. And the story, it's growing. And I was watching it week by week after you started. I was telling you actually how I felt about it. I was like, I like this, but I have a major problem with this.
Yeah, I remember you saying that and you didn't want to actually tell me. Because you wanted to do it when we're talking about it here on the podcast. So you got to tell me now what your major problem with it was.
Right. Many, many weeks ago, I mentioned this. And the first four episodes or so, if anyone has seen K-On! Before, which is like the originator of all cute girls doing cute things.
Well, that's not true.
You don't think so?
No.
What do you think is before that?
Sailor Moon.
They're not cute girls doing cute things. They're doing like
– they are cute girls and they are doing things. And when they do those things, it's pretty cute.
No. They're doing things that are like action oriented.
Debatable.
They have a plot.
We could have this fight for the next 3 years. But today we're talking about A Place Further Than the Universe.
Fine. Whatever. K-On.
Yes. Fine.
So
– your introduction to cute girls doing cute things.
Sure. That's fine. There's – four girls in K-On. Well, yeah, I'm not counting Azunia. Fuck her.
Yeah, no, I don't like Azunia.
There's four girls in K-On, and there's four girls in this show, and they kind of match up as you're getting introduced to them. So the first girl is Kimari, and she kind of matches up with Yui.
The main character. They're both kind of useless. They don't have a goal in life.
They're both kind of needs. They're like lost in life.
Don't do
and
much.
Like,
yeah.
We need to go on an adventure. We need to do something different. And
yeah,
new.
They want to change what they've the nothing that they've been doing.
Right. It's almost like a carbon copy of the first
right,
characters.
Right. Right.
Then you get introduced to Shirase, who is very similar to Mio, I thought, because first of all, they look so similar. They're the beauties of the series. They have long black hair. They both have social anxiety.
Right.
And they're kind of like they're both really, really competent.
They're the voice of reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then the next two characters, not as much, but a little bit. So then you get Hinata, which is a busty cashier-chan, and she's kind of like Ritsu. Because they got
there's definitely similarities in that they're very bombastic and loud,
right?
And they, you know, whenever they're talking, they take command of what's going on,
right? Definitely like the leadership, the taking charge.
Yeah,
they're kind of center of the tension. And then the last one was just the furthest of them all is Yuzuki, kind of matching Mio. Mio is a lot sweeter and charming in K-On! Versus Yuzuki, who is kind of like a brat.
I mean, really the only thing they have in common is that they're rich.
Yeah, that's I call them the plot device.
Right.
Coming out.
Exactly, the plot device. They're able to push things along because of their money and their fame.
Right. Yeah. Like, if it weren't for Mio, they couldn't go to the beach resort. They couldn't get Yui her guitar and things like that.
Right, yeah.
In this case, they wouldn't be able to go to Antarctica.
Right, because Yuzuki. They went because Yuzuki went for her filming
right,
for
exactly.
TV.
And this is the first four or five episodes or so, and I'm like, I like this series. I feel good when I watch this series, but this feels like a carbon copy of, I mean, even the best friend in K-On!, that's Nodoka. She's best friends with Kimari. And then here it's Megumi's best friends. She's best friends with Yui. And then Megumi's best friends with Kimari here. Mm-hmm. And there's this very studious, capable best friend, glasses, who just guides the main character along before they have this change in their life. And I was like, this is so, so similar.
And it is exactly what you're saying until episode five, where it completely turns everything you're saying on its head.
And that's when I said, this series is really good. This series is a game changer.
Yeah, yeah. Where we find that Megumi is actually awful as a human being.
Evil glasses.
Has no intention of actually helping Kimari. Whereas, you know, in K-On!, she was helping, what's her name, Yui with fucking everything her entire life.
Yeah.
And still doing it.
Yeah.
And it really sets this tone of, like, there's stakes here. There's, there's, you know, real things happening. There's real things to overcome. There's things that they really have to get over in order to reach their goal. Mm-hmm. And they all have different goals, which is what makes it interesting, is that there's the common theme of Antarctica, of going to Antarctica, but none of them are really doing it for the same reason.
Antarctica is just the journey, but they all have their own battles that they're fighting while they're going there.
Yeah. And I think that's what makes it interesting with them. So yeah, first impression, I liked it from the start. You were, you know, you enjoyed it, but you really didn't think there was a ton of substance to it. But then once we got to that episode five, we can both agree is when it really took off.
Right. You know, my heart was like, I like this, but my head was like thinking too much into it.
Right.
And once my head was into it, then I was like, I'm all aboard.
Yeah. I would definitely agree that you can really hop on after that episode. And if you, you know, you push through the first five episodes, I think you're hooked.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's all you need to watch. And then you'll definitely finish the series. I know some people might have dropped it after the first two or three episodes, maybe not thinking there was much to it.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot to it.
There's, oh man, it escalates very quickly.
I think what I really like about it is the first four episodes gives us an introduction to each of the four main girls.
Right.
And then from then on, we have each of them having some sort of internal conflict, and that internal conflict, they each get like an episode, like two episodes each at some point in the series. I know there's one for Hinata where she loses her passport.
Right, right.
And then they have to talk about whether or not they can
loses her passport.
Well, yeah.
And that goes back in, like, what you're saying about the problems. Like, they always tease in these little problems at the beginning of every episode. And each episode's such a fun ride because they integrate a little bit of drama, a lot of humor and interaction. And
ton of cuteness.
Tons of cuteness.
But the thing is, you have, you know, Hinata losing her passport and them all coming together to support her. Right. Where Hinata's like, no, you have to go. This is your dream, Shirase. You need to get there. You need to, you know, for your mother and all that. And then Shirase's like, no, this is, you know, we are going together. That's the whole point of this trip.
Yep.
And as one girl has a problem, another girl develops in helping that other girl solve her problem.
Yeah.
And that happens throughout the series where somebody has a problem. What's her name? Yuzuki feels really – she's lacking in confidence when they're in Antarctica. She doesn't really know if they're friends or not.
Right.
And then they all come together, all the girls. They give her the cake. They give her this. They give her that. And then she realizes, these people are my friends no matter what.
I don't need a contract to prove this. She tries to
get them to sign a contract to show that they're friends because she had never had friends before.
And then they come together for her.
Yeah. And every single one of the characters in this show has that moment where they're really down.
Mm-hmm.
And one of or all of the girls come together to bring them back up. Right. And it's really interesting to see how they go about doing it, especially because this is, once again, supposed to be kind of a fun, entertaining show too.
Mm-hmm.
But they really handle the drama well on top of that.
And you don't really feel anxious. You just, like, you're into it. At least that's how I felt.
Yeah, I'm never feeling like, oh my God, is this going to resolve itself? Because no, I mean, obviously it's...
There are a lot of shows where, I mean, you know that it's just a cartoon. You know it's just an anime.
Yeah.
And you feel so tense. Like, oh man, I don't... That you're inside.
And that's a good thing.
Sometimes I don't like that.
That's what I'm saying. Sometimes that's a good thing. But in this case, you didn't need that. Didn't need that for the drama to really build.
Sorry, just going off on a little tangent. Do you know what made me really feel that way growing up? Kenan and Kel.
You know what? You're absolutely right. I feel the exact same way.
That made me feel so anxious. And I was just like 9 or 10 years old. And every single time they got into a problem, I was like, oh,
Kenan and Kel was real.
Yeah, that was some they fucked up a lot.
Kenan and Kel was a great anime.
Who's your waifu in Kenan and Kel?
Orange Soda Chan. Easily.
I'm sorry, I was going off on the tangent.
Easily.
But this is the exact opposite of that feeling. This is, you're just in for the story and you don't get that anxiety until...
Right. I mean, there's tense moments, but I didn't feel that anxiety because I felt like they really did a good job of making you trust the characters and trust that they will overcome it in some sort of way.
Yeah.
Which is really a really fascinating thing to have an anime make you feel.
And the characters, they're really solid. They're a little bit tropey, but they have a lot of heart. You know, they're not carried just by their tropes. I thought that they had thoughts and feelings and stories.
Right. I felt convinced by their development.
Yeah.
I felt like their development was real. And yeah, of course they had tropes. Like we said, they did all pretty much relate to a Kaon character in one way or another. So clearly they're following some sort of trope. I think that you need that. You can't have four characters that are exactly the same.
Right.
You need things to diversify their personalities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Let's switch gears a little bit. Let's talk about music.
Yeah, you know what? I think the music was very atmospheric and it did what it needed to do. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say it was memorable other than the opening, but it, you know, it did a good job of setting the tone. I know another cute girls doing cute things anime that I watched this season was Yuru Camp, which had phenomenal music.
Better than this.
I would say it had more memorable music and more tone setting music, but this did a good job as well. I think you feel a little differently though. I think you
I like this music a lot. The opening, so let me get into the opening a little bit. I would actually watch this opening probably 10 out of the 13 episodes that I see.
Really?
Yeah, because I love the artwork. You know how they're like drawing with chalk in the beginning and they're passing, like the camera zooms in over all.
Do you know who sings the opening?
I don't.
The voice actress of Shirase.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure that's true.
That's some talent.
Yeah.
That's super impressive.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
But the opening's super great. Like, I love listening to it. And also, did you know that, like, what they're drawing in the beginning, right?
Penguins.
I mean, that's – remember the chalkboard at the very end of the opening?
Right.
That's what they're drawing. They're drawing the ship with the penguins on the glacier. Like, that's what
it sums up. I don't think I paid enough attention to the opening, honestly. I'd have to see it again.
Yeah, when I realized that, I was like, wow, this is – it's. I mean, it's just a little tidbit. It's nuanced, but I like that a lot. And the ending's fine, but – the song at the end of a few of the episodes, it's really strong. It's really impactful.
Oh, right. They knew when to kick it in. Yeah,
right.
I 100% agree with that.
It's kind of like I don't want to call it like a hype song, but it's kind of like...
Yes, it's not roundabout at the end of JoJo.
No, no. It's like a resolution, excitement, we're going on a journey type of song.
Yeah.
And that's that one I really enjoyed also.
Although I would say episode 12 could have ended with roundabout and my mind would have been blown.
Gosh, we'll get into that in a little bit. Okay.
So, yeah, you know what? Before we get to, like, the meat of the plot, why don't you tell me what you thought was going to happen from, like, various parts of the series? So, episode 1, what did you think? Where do you think they were going with it?
You know, I'm like, a dumb viewer, which I love about myself, actually. Like, I don't think that much if I like the show. And I only start thinking when I think this is horrible. Like, if I'm watching Dragon Ball Super, I'm like, this is such fucking garbage.
Why don't they going to ass pull themselves out of this?
Exactly. Right. Like, why didn't they do A, B, and C? Mm. But if I enjoy it, I'm just like, just going
you can turn your brain off a bit.
But I think me and you talked about it. Once you figure out that, I was about to say Mio, Shirase. Once you figure out the whole point of this is Shirase is going to Antarctica to go find her mom. Then in my head, I was like, well, I was like, what are they going to do? And honestly, I thought they were going to do season 2.
I never thought they were going to do a season 2.
The pacing was kind of slow.
In this?
I thought so. I thought that they were on the boat for...
I think the boat was
fucking,
the...
Fucking boats.
I think Berserk gave boats a bad taste for all anime and manga fans in the history of mankind.
I didn't hate it. I mean, I didn't hate the boat, but I just thought it was going slow. So I was like, okay, they're going to drag this out and then they're going to do season 2 with 13 episodes.
No, I never thought we were getting a season 2.
No.
Okay. I mean, how much
more could you do
in Antarctica? There's not much to do in Antarctica. And if you go, I mean, I didn't know a ton about Antarctica before watching the show, but I knew there's not a lot you can do in Antarctica.
Speaking of what to do in Antarctica, they did really good research for this show.
Oh yeah, they absolutely did.
Super impressed with Like the Sun Column,
yeah,
and the Aurora and the Icebreaker ship and all, like, the Japanese history about, yeah, how they
it
got
it was very interesting.
Antarctica land.
That's right, yeah, which was what they said in the series. It was post-World War II.
Everyone's like, fuck you, Japan, you were, yeah, bad guys, so you're not getting anything. And then the Japanese people persevered and they managed.
Right, they got a really, like, shitty part of Antarctica that was almost impossible to get to.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was very fascinating. They did a good job of teaching about Antarctica.
Did you feel like – I'm avoiding your question right now. I'll get back to it.
Which one?
Prediction.
Oh, my – yeah, right.
But did you – when you were watching the series, were you thinking to yourself, man, I want to go to Antarctica?
Never.
Really?
Never.
I really did feel that
way. I thought about it for a second.
Yeah.
No, you know what? I wouldn't even say that. I felt like, man, Antarctica might be – no. It's too cold.
I thought about it for like 8 episodes probably.
Really?
Until like maybe the captain says like – Antarctica's cold and dark, and,
you see,
and I was like, oh wow, Antarctica isn't that
cold. All I thought about was wanting to go back to Japan when I was watching them in Japan. And then, like, I'd say the only moments of anxiety I have during watching it was like, man, if I was in Antarctica for 6 months, I would want to kill myself. Like, wow. I would just want nothing more than to be back in Japan.
I think I had that realization later on, but yeah. I was like, you know what? This doesn't sound that great.
It did a great job of teaching me about Antarctica and why I would never want to go to Antarctica.
If someone gave me an offer to go to Antarctica, I think I might go. Like, in this lifetime, in the next, like, 30 years of my life that's left, maybe I'll go to Antarctica.
I love penguins, but I still would not go to Antarctica. I'll just go to the Bronx, so.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, I'm done with that. I'll switch back to your question. What were my predictions?
Well, you clearly didn't have much prediction of anything. You just thought it was going to be a long series.
I mean, the very
end. What did you think was the end goal then?
I thought they would find her mom. Or
alive.
I thought – I was going down two routes. I was like, either they're going to find her like in some huddled shelter and she's been abandoned forever. And I wasn't really honestly feeling that one. But I thought they might find a grave or something.
But how would that even – worked. I'm glad it didn't happen.
I'm telling you, I'm dumb. All right, let's not spoil too much, but I'm dumb. But anyway, what did you think was going to happen?
I mean, I thought they would go to Antarctica and have a nice time.
So you weren't thinking about the mom?
No, because I knew I didn't know how they would wrap up her getting closure about her mother, but I knew her mother was, you know, gone and they would have to accept that somehow. And I think the point, I always felt that the way she was going to gain her closure was friendship. The journey with my friends made me realize that,
oh boy,
I didn't need to go to Antarctica to find myself.
You're 50% there.
To make friends.
You're 50% there, but the other 50% is terrifying.
Which percent? I mean, which percent is terrifying?
The other 50%.
What is the other 50%?
Episode 12.
Oh my god, episode 12.
Okay, so viewers, we're going to
If you want to watch the series, if you want to watch A Place Further in the Universe, then stop listening to the podcast right now, because we're going to enter spoiler mode now.
Yeah, so everything we've talked about up until now is about episodes 1 through 11 or so, and shit fucking goes crazy episode 12.
It's heavy.
I watched episode 12 and 13 together the other night.
Yeah.
I just got back from a trip, so I didn't have access to it, and Jesus.
It was heavy.
That was heavy shit.
So we get to where the girls are going on like an expedition in Antarctica to basically where Shirase's mother went missing.
Right.
So Shirase finds the laptop of her mother. And throughout the entire series, we see Shirase sending emails to her mother that obviously her mother's not getting.
Actually, can you pause that for a second? So I didn't think she was sending her emails.
Oh, you never noticed that?
No, I noticed she was opening up an email chat,
right,
and typing in mom. And then I thought she had such anxiety that she was like trying to write her something, but she never finished anything.
Right, right.
And then in the middle of episode 12, when she agrees to go on this expedition to where they're going to go find her mother, there's this little montage of her writing the email to her mom. And this is the first email that you actually see or hear her sending to her mom. So I thought this was her very first email.
No.
And when they open the laptop, that shows one unread message. I thought that's the one message
that she sent.
Right, like a day before.
Yeah. But then like 500 messages come in, and it does it like progressively. It starts at like 10 and then 20 and then 50, 900, then 80 and then 400
1,000.
And then And it's just like,
holy shit.
And it's just really intense. And you see all the girls just like bawling in tears, crying. And as, you know, Shirase realizes, you know, this is the last of, you know, my mother. It's this computer. This is what I've been contacting for the past 3 years, hoping for something maybe.
Right.
And this is where it is.
I mean, you know how throughout the entire series, Shirase says, I'm going to Antarctica to find my mother.
Yeah.
In my head, subconsciously, even if I knew that she was gone, I really thought that she might be alive because Shirase seemed like she really believed in it. And it wasn't until the captain sits down with Shirase earlier in the episode and says, I know your mother's dead.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, oh, shit. Like, we're throwing it down. Like, we know she's dead now. Like, for certain. We're not going to find anything. We're going to find some memento, if anything.
Yeah.
But that killed the possibility of her being alive.
Which I think was good. I think that's what makes this a really special series, is that it did not take the easy route, the happy route.
Right. It was grounded in reality.
Yeah.
There's no special powers. There's nothing like that. And there it felt really real to me.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, me watching it, it was hard not to sit there with some tears rolling down my face, because it was really hard hitting.
Dude, I definitely cried a little bit. Like, yeah. I was definitely had a couple of tears.
It was very well done.
Oh, man. And
I mean, leading up to that, they show maybe two or three times, like, the scene where her mother goes missing 3 years in the past, where she's on the, you know,
on the
walkie-talkie as the captain is like screaming for her into the walkie-talkies to try to find her. And then you hear Shirase's mother just say, like, it's everything is so beautiful as she's looking into the night sky at the aurora borealis. It really is.
It goes straight to the heart.
Amazing,
man.
And beautiful.
Oh gosh. Yeah.
And it really hits you over the head.
Uh-huh.
And then we move on to episode 13.
Yeah.
Which is not as heavy, but really still is special. You know what I mean?
There's something – what cemented this for me is a really fantastic series. When up till episode 11, I said, this is a good series. Mm-hmm. Episode 12 put it over the top. I was like, this is a great series. And then how you finish an anime is so important, in my opinion. And I think – there are very few anime that I've seen that finished it this well.
I agree. I will say the one thing anime as a medium that I think doesn't do well is end strong.
Yes.
And I think this series was one of the most perfect endings that I've seen in any anime I've watched. And I've watched over almost 100 things.
Right. And so I actually thought it was going to pan out and just start playing the music that I love so much when they're laying on the ship and the Aurora Borealis shows up. And, you know, did you think they were going to see the aurora?
No, I honestly kind of forgot about it.
It. Because do you remember Kimari had that bucket list from the beginning?
Yeah,
And most of the things were so mundane. Like, it was like, eat shaved ice, penguins. And they just sort of happened. They kind of wiggled their way in there. So you don't really care about these things. But the aurora is such an important piece. Mm-hmm. And it comes up out of nowhere. So that was a really nice touch.
Yeah, I agree.
And when they're all laying down and they see the aurora, I was like,
As they're holding hands,
which is
exactly. Because remember, like, it's intro. Cute girls doing cute things.
And it was adorable. I was like, this is a nice way to end it.
But then, in addition to that, we get Shirase, who opens up her cell phone, and she gets that, you know, the email from her mother.
That the captain forwarded.
Yeah, that the captain.
That never left the outbox.
That never left her outbox. Of her mother taking a picture of the Aurora Borealis, and you're just what is the caption? I think it says, "You need to see it in person," or it's right. Like you
it's
know,
even
it's beautiful even more beautiful
in person.
And that is just,
and she, it's so touching because Shirase of all the characters has so much growth. Because in the beginning she's been tormented,
yeah,
but then she gives up the laptop, she puts everything to bed, cuts off her hair, and here she just smiles and says, I know. She doesn't cry.
Yeah, she's just so happy. And you see that she really has had her closure. And she's just – it's so expertly crafted.
It's so heartwarming.
Yeah.
And at that point, I was like, okay, now this is the end. But wait, there's more.
But that's not all.
So remember episode 3 where we're talking about Your Name and they come to the staircase and they're like, Kimi no namae wa? And we're just like, that was the perfect ending. Nothing could be better than that. And we said,
I hate the ending for Your Name. Well, I don't hate it, but it's
a masterpiece, but it's not, we want something more pandering.
Yes.
But we're at the same time, we feel conflicted because we're thinking, if you pander more to me, you're ruining the series. Mm-hmm. But this panders to us and it's fantastic.
Exactly. That's the thing that makes this such a perfect ending. It panders to you. It gives you, you know, the girls going their separate ways, but obviously still saying they're going to stay in touch, them texting each other, being friends.
In the montage.
And they get their montage on their ways out. And you believe that they're going to stay in touch. Mm-hmm. Like, one of the toughest things about a slice of life series ending is knowing that their lives will go on and you won't be a part of it. But with this, you know, I felt okay with that.
Yeah.
I really did.
Yeah, I think the nice thing about the montage, like Kimari's home hugging her family.
Yeah.
And then Shirase's home, like
with her grandma, honoring her mother.
Yeah.
Yuzuki. She hugs her mother.
Right.
And it makes her feel happy because her and her mother kind of had a cold relationship. But like, I guess being apart made them realize that they loved each other, and Yuzuki probably seeing how Shirase felt about her mother made her realize some things, and you know, you just have them clicking.
There's a
and
full getting back to you.
Exactly. Everyone relates to each other in some way.
And then there's more. And as they were closing out this episode, I said, "Oh man, what happened to Megumi, the glasses friend?" And I was like, "I wonder if they're going to close this out." And they do in such a spectacular
way. It really was a fun, silly way to do it. Also a very telling way to do it, because you have Kimari opening her phone, texting her friend, saying, "I'm home. Where are you?"
Okay.
And then she's like, "Bitch, I'm in the Arctic." And she sends her a picture of her somewhere up north in the Arctic. And Kimari's like, "Wait, wait." And it shows like her own growth, because you saw when her and Kimari had their falling out that it was like, you were always attached at the hip to me, but like me having you constantly rely on me is what made me.
Right.
And she went out of her way to do something so outlandish and out of her personality and out of her comfort zone that it, even in one little scene where she's sending a picture to her friend, it develops her character.
Yeah. And they didn't forget about her. Like, they do such a good job with these characters because it felt realistic. If you're talking to your friend who's back at home, she gets mentioned, and that Kimari talks to Yuzuki about her relationship with Megumi, and it doesn't feel like they forgot about her. It feels very realistic.
It does. It really does. I mean, it ended on such a fun, interesting note with everything getting wrapped up, every character getting their time, and just honestly, in general, this was one of the best animes I've watched in a few years.
Yeah, definitely.
That's the best way to wrap up this discussion. I think you and I both agree that this was definitely one of the top things we've watched in a long time.
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend the series. If you made it this far and you listened to the spoilers, you did yourself a little bit of a disservice.
But it's still worth watching, I'd say.
Absolutely, go and watch this series.
But there is one more thing we need to talk about.
And you can't end a Cute Girls Doing Cute Things episode without discussing this topic.
Best girl.
Rob, who is your best girl?
My best girl was Chef Chan.
What? Okay, now I know you're joking.
You know, the chef for the Arctic expedition team.
I honestly had no idea who you were talking about for a second. I was thinking about the chef from South Park for some reason.
It was not Chef from South Park.
Can I guess who you like?
Yes.
I think you like Hinata.
Oh my God, you're so right.
Why?
I liked her breasts.
Busty Cashier Chan.
Busty Cashier Chan. No, I thought I liked her quirky little one-liners where like they sounded like these philosophical quotes and they're like, "Who the fuck said that?" And she's like, "I said that. That's my quote." Like, I really enjoyed that aspect of her character.
She's silly. She's super strong,
yeah, too. Yeah, I liked her as a character.
Like, she had this tormented part about – all of them have this tormented part about them except for – Kimari, but
yeah, sure,
but she's so strong.
I was a big fan of Hinata.
Yeah, I like Hinata. Do you know who my best girl was?
I'm gonna say Shirase.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
I think.
Look at us. Look how well we know each other.
Yeah. I would say that she I think you can agree that she has the strongest development.
Yes, absolutely.
Because she's kind of the driving force of this whole series. Mm-hmm. But from start to finish, like I was talking about earlier, she's this tormented, lonely soul. And she's like, I can get through life by myself without anybody. And she starts breaking down and she lets everybody in. And then she's like, these are the most important people to me. I can't be stuck in the past. And oh, one last thing we didn't mention was the money.
That's right. And I think this was one of the other things that made this ending to the series so excellent. So from the very actually, this is very important to the plot. Yeah. Kimari and Shirase come together because Kimari finds this
the 1 million yen.
1 million yen that belongs to Shirase, that Shirase's been saving up for years, trying to go to Antarctica. And that's a lot of money. How much is that? $100,000 American?
$10,000 American?
And
she's a high school student. She's 16.
Yeah, so that's insane. So she takes that with her to Antarctica and leaves it there as like a treasure.
And the scene in episode, I want to say 12 or 13, where I think it's episode 12, she's counting out each one. She's like,
that's right.
Cleaning.
Like how she earned that money.
And
cashier. That money she was working to get just so she could find her mother, whether that was for real or metaphorically.
Right. And when she does that, that really felt impactful. Right.
That ends her character arc.
It's not a plot device that, here you get a bunch of money.
Right.
You can feel the hours that she put into this as a 13, 14,
like she did so many different awful odd jobs. And then she closed out her character arc. Everything she worked towards, she accomplished. And she was able to leave that money there. The money wasn't important. It was getting there that was important.
Right. And the money almost feels like blood money. It feels like that money represents torment to her.
Right. I definitely agree with that.
Through and all the pain that she went through with losing her mother.
Was such a good series.
And she lets it go.
So much nuance.
It's really well thought out. It's really a treat.
All right, Justin. I think we can leave finding the rest of these little tidbits to the viewers who must watch A Place Further Than the Universe.
John, if you're listening to this, go watch your first Cute Girls Doing Cute Things episode and you will have no regrets.
I don't think he will, but all of you should definitely do that. And if you want to follow us on Twitter and Instagram, you can find us where, Justin?
At Ultra Odyssey. And if you want to send us some life advice questions, ask us anything, where will they email us?
That I am not sure. You tell me, Justin.
At ultraodysseycast@gmail.com.
Wonderful. Thanks for tuning in.